Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Navin Fluorine International Limited Q3 and 9-month FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhavya Shah from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and welcome to the Q3 and 9-month FY24 earnings conference call. Today on this call, we have Mr. Vishad Mafatlal, Chairman, Mr. Anish Ganatra, Chief Financial Officer of Navin Fluorine International Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinion, and expectations as of today. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number 2 of the investor presentation of the company, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and company website. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Vishad Mafatlal for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you all to Q3 and 9-month FY24 earnings call. I am joined by our CFO, Mr. Anish Ganatra, and Orient Capital, our investor relations advisor. I hope everyone got an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as our company's website. Before I start with my comments on the business performance, I would like to brief you on a few developments at Navin Fluorine. The board of directors at the board meeting held have approved two CapExes amounting to 372 crores rupees to be funded through internal accruals: a CapEx of 288 crores towards setting up a cGMP 4 facility with a capacity of 200 KL. The CapEx would be done in phases. Phase 1, with a capacity of 100 KL, will have an outlay of rupees 160 crores, which is expected to be commissioned by end of CY25. Phase 2 of the CapEx will be initiated based on the progress of MSAs and projections for the business. I am pleased to inform you we have expanded the MSA with a European-based API customer to cover 2 new molecules, 3 in total. These molecules are an intermediate to a patented commercial product with promising prospects. The MSA is expected to contribute materially to CDMO revenues from FY26 and beyond. The proposed cGMP 4 Phase 1 capacity is critical to support the MSA and also unlocks the $100 million top-line aspiration for the business vertical. Further, we have entered into a strategic partnership with a U.S.-based contract development and manufacturing company. This partnership will be mutually beneficial, providing access to chemistry capabilities to Navin in addition to scale-up opportunities and also deepening our customer penetration in the U.S. As indicated at our previous call, our CDMO business is rebranded as Navin Molecular. Navin Molecular brand will help further sharpen our value proposition to offer a wide-ranging CDMO services to our customers, supporting projects, including non-fluoro projects, through the clinical phases of commercial manufacturing. While the current order book for this segment continues to be built, with efforts already done to strengthen and focus our business development team, we are confident we will be able to deliver growth in this vertical, which is visible from the second half of FY25. Second, a CapEx of 84 crores to enhance our HFC capacity by another 4,500 tons of R32 refrigerant gas, which will be operational by February 25. Our earlier CapEx of R32 is commissioned and fully operational at an optimum capacity. The new CapEx is aimed at securing our market position in the refrigerant gas space over the next decade and beyond, and is underpinned by our belief of market demand growth also feedback from industry players in India and globally. Coming to our existing facilities, as indicated in the past, we continue to drive operational excellence while executing projects in a disciplined fashion within a tight financial framework. In particular, our HF plant, R32 plant, R22 plant are running at optimum capacity. We continue to work jointly with Honeywell to ramp up our plant at Dahej, though this is taking longer than expected. However, we are hopeful of putting this behind us soon. The agro-speciality plant at Dahej is progressing well, with chemical charge expected by end of March-April, followed by first commercial supplies by end of Q1 FY25. Our AHF project at Dahej is progressing well and is as per schedule. A capex of 30 crores towards development of a completely new capability in Surat is on track and is expected to generate revenue from FY25. I am also pleased to inform that with a view to incentivize and retain critical talent, the NRC and the board has granted 2,27,500 options under the ESOP scheme at the prevailing market price. The options are awarded to a small pool of critical resources across our organization. The board and I also have progressed on the search for a new CEO. We have shortlisted a pool of candidates that are being further evaluated and hope to conclude the process soon. Our key criteria remains unchanged. The candidate must have strong industry experience with an execution excellence bias and solid understanding of the growth drivers. Finally, I'd like to end by stating that the quarter has been a tough one, not just for Navin, but for the entire industry. Globally, unpredictable weather conditions, destocking of high-value inventory, and cash flow management from ag majors have impacted the entire industry. Global agrochemical players are cautious on forecasting of new demand, resulting into headwinds for the Indian ag chemical players. We expect clarity on demand visibility by Q1 FY25. However, our mid and long-term view of the business remains intact. Our focus is to continue to drive operational excellence while making investments to ensure that as and when the short-term headwinds turn, Navin is well positioned to capitalize on the same. With that, over to you, Anish.
Thank you, Vishal Bhai. Good evening and thank you all for attending the earnings call. The revenue and profitability in Q3 FY24 were below our expectations. Let me take you through business-wise performance for the quarter. Our specialty business was impacted due to deferment of campaigns and inventory destocking within our customer channel partners. On the positive side, we have added a new molecule in the last quarter at Dahej and four more molecules are in pipeline for the next quarter. We are confident with the strong partnership and technology platform, we will continue to deliver innovative offerings to the customers. Our HPP business was impacted due to ramp-up challenges for our HFO plant. We continue to work closely with our partner to further improve and enhance productivity of the plant. Ref gas, in particular R22, continues to face pricing pressure, especially in the international markets. We expect the pricing to stabilize by the end of the fiscal. The R32 plant commissioned earlier in the year has stabilized and is operating at an optimal capacity. Our CDMO business revenues in the last quarter were below its potential. This business is lumpy in character, hence we cannot analyze the performance on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Some of the key campaigns from the last fiscal are deferred and a couple of early phase molecules dropped off from clinical trials due to data not meeting the defined endpoints. As indicated by Vishal Bhai, the expanded MSA with European-based API customer and the strategic partnership with US-based CDMO are promising and expected to contribute along with renewed business development effort to the growth from second half of FY25. Moving on to financial performance of the company in Q3 FY24, the sales in this quarter were impacted largely due to the following reasons. Lower sales in CDMO segment, which is a higher margin business vertical, slower ramp-up and stabilization of production at Dahej, lower orders in specialty due to global inventory destocking, pricing pressure in exports markets for R22, deferment of sales from four specialty molecules from Q3 FY24 to Q4 FY24. Lower than expected sales resulted in decline of EBITDA margins reflected in the lower operating leverage. However, approximately 3%-4% of the margin impact is due to one-off fixed cost, deferral of specialty molecules, and delayed stabilization of HFO plant, which we expect to recoup. Further, as market conditions improve, we should start to see EBITDA margins rebound to the 24%-25% range. I will now share the highlights of our performance for Q3 FY24 and nine-month FY24, post which we will be happy to take questions from all of you. For nine-month FY24, on a consolidated basis, the company reported revenue from operations of rupees 1,465 crores as against 1,380 crores in nine-month FY23, reflecting a growth of 6% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA stood at 288 crores as against 349 crores in nine-month FY23, down by 17%. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 19.7% as against 25.3% in nine-month FY23, lower by 557 basis points. Exceptional item includes gain from sale of surplus unused colony land at Surat for rupees 54 crores. The profit after tax stood at 200 crores for nine-month FY24 as against 239 crores in nine-month FY23, reflecting higher depreciation and finance cost associated with Dahej assets. Now, coming to the quarterly performance for Q3 FY24, the company reported net revenue from operations to rupees 502 crores against rupees 564 crores in Q3 FY23. Operating EBITDA was 76 crore as against 156 crores in Q3 FY23. PAT stood at 78 crores as against 107 crores in Q3 FY23. As mentioned earlier, PAT includes exceptional income from sale of surplus unused colony land at Surat. Within the context of short-term headwinds, we have continued to ensure a tight financial framework. In particular, for the first nine months of FY24, the business has generated operating cash flow delivery of rupees 523 crores. Focused efforts on reduction of working capital have secured the release of about 253 crores cash during nine-month FY24. Net working capital days remain within the 90 days of sales guideline provided earlier. Our net debt to equity ratio at the end of December stands at 0.38 times. The two new CapExes that Rishabhai referred, aggregating to rupees 372 crores, will be fully funded through internal accruals. So that is it from my side. We'll now open the floor for question and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you. A couple of questions, one on specialty chemicals and one set of questions on CDMO. In Spec Chem's first, if you could please help us with an update on some of the key growth projects we've been implementing. So what exactly is the capacity utilization of the multipurpose plant, and how do we see it ramping up next year? Do we still expect it to hit full utilization in CY24? Also, any discussions with the customer for the dedicated plant, which is already running at optimal capacity, to double the capacity there or expand? And finally, the five new molecules that you've talked about, one introduced this quarter, maybe there's four more next quarter. What might be the revenue potential from this?
Abhijit, it's Anish here. Thank you for the questions. So on the capacity, as you know, we never generally talk about capacities. But what I will tell you is that in the spec chem space, we had three capexes. One was the MPP1 at the Dahej. Then there was the MPP2 at the H2 and the agro speciality plant, dedicated agro speciality plant, part of it which is dedicated. So on MPP1, in kind of FY24, we expect that 80% of the peak annual revenue that we'd indicated to you guys will be met. In MPP2, we believe that in FY24, we will have already achieved the peak annual revenue. The dedicated agro-speciality plant is expected to start chemical reaction by end of March or early April latest. And the first commercial supplies are expected to be in end of 1Q FY25. So I don't know if that answers your questions on the capacity or new agro capexes in the spec chem basis. But I'll take your question on the molecules in a second. But let me know if you've got anything more on that.
No, that's helpful, Anish. So just to clarify, the multipurpose plant for which we had a revenue potential of about 270 crores, that one is running at about 80% in fiscal 24 itself, you said, is it? And the other one, which was 160 crore revenue potential, that one is at full utilization for fiscal 24.
Yeah, so that's exactly right, Abhijit. So, I mean, I wouldn't say 80% capacity, but I'm referring to the 80% peak annual revenues, yeah?
Okay.
Okay?
Understood.
Because, you know when we start, when we factor in or model these multipurpose plants, they're not modeled to run at 100% capacity, right? They're modeled at a certain utilization level, given that there will be batch processing. Yeah.
Okay. So of the 270, we are talking about 80% here.
Yeah. On the five molecules that you mentioned, one molecule has come into play in this quarter. Four we were expecting in this quarter. Some of that has been deferred to next quarter because of customer requests, and some of that has been deferred because we needed more time on the chemical reaction side. But we expect all of those to come into play by the end of Q4.
Yes, and any revenue potential from these that you could share?
I would not like to speculate that at this stage. Leave it to when we get to see it, yeah?
Got it. And just the other one I had was on CDMO. So while we've talked about the capex number for this MSA with the European customer, is there a revenue number also you could point at? And the other one was just that there was this large purchase order of $60 million that we had a year back or so. We were expecting some renewal of that order in CY24. So is there any update on that?
So on the CDMO side, see, we normally that business is not associated with guaranteed MSAs or contracts, right? But if you're asking, if your question was around as to, you know, what is the capacity, that's difficult to, I mean, in terms of the revenue potential you're looking for. See, our typical asset turns in CDMO tend to be about 1.75 to 2 times. So that wouldn't be sort of different here either. But, neither the MSA nor the projections are sort of guaranteed. The thing I can tell you is the commercial product that these intermediates go into is a patented product, and, the prospects are extremely promising, and we are very excited with it as well.
Sure. And on the purchase order, any update on that for upcoming year?
Purchase order for?
There was the $16 million PO we had about a year back, and we were expecting a renewal of that order in CY24. So
that order has been deferred to this quarter, coming Q4 quarter, the $18 million.
I see. So 4Q FY24 will have an $18 million of delivery. Hmm.
Sorry, just... Sorry, you're referring to last year that we've done the molecule in Q4, is it? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. Q3 and Q4 of last year.
No, so that, as I mentioned in my commentary, those campaigns are not expected to come in this fiscal. They will come in the following fiscal. Sorry, just to clarify that, yeah?
Yeah. That's fiscal 2025, right? The upcoming year, 2024-2025.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. So we do have that visibility now clearly defined. That order is coming next year.
We expect. It's still kind of how the business is, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the update we have at the moment that it is expected next fiscal, but we constantly remain in touch with the customers, and projections could change. There's a lot of dynamism involved in this, Abhijit.
Understood. Thank you so much, Anish. I'll get back in the queue for more. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the HFO project. So just wanted some understanding. When we started the project within a period of three to six months, we went up to the optimal utilization. And now, in the last three quarters, we've been struggling to again get back to the optimal level, or the ramp-up is slow. So is there any deferred demand issue, or is there any structural issue at plant level? And how do we foresee in terms of the revenue potential, which earlier we were envisaging about 400-500 crores annually, whether we are on target for that in FY25 or that is also difficult? Thank you.
All right. So let me take that in two parts. First is the HFO project, as you mentioned, about the ramp-up and the stabilization of the production. Now, the plant is a very advanced technology plant. Honeywell operates this plant apart from, obviously, with us in India, in China, and in the U.S. And one of our learnings out of this has been that the optimum operating parameters of this plant is in a very, very narrow range. So as we experience issues, we have to be very precise in terms of how the plant parameters are being set. And that's a learning experience, unfortunately, we did not take into account as we started the ramp-up and the technology absorption. So that has taken a little more while than what we would have liked to have, but there are no structural problems. We're very closely working on this with Honeywell to resolve and fix it, and we hope that this will be behind us very, very soon. Yeah? So that's the first part of the question. The other part in terms of is there on the demand side. Now, while we are being able to dispatch and meet Honeywell's requirements on what they have ordered from us as a result of the contract that we have, the demand obviously also is slightly subdued. So the orders at the moment are at the minimum level of what we have under our contract, not at the higher end of that. To answer your question on the peak annual revenue from that in terms of what we promised, we believe that it's already on track. So the FY23 we commissioned, we said in 2 years we will be at the peak annual revenue of up to about 460-odd crores per year, which we are on track. That doesn't change.
Sure. That's helpful. Second question is, again, similar on CDMO. So we've been guiding that on a normalized basis, we will have about $40 million of yearly run rate, barring any lumpiness on a quarterly basis. So how are we expecting the run rate during FY24? And in FY25, as you mentioned, that there will be this additional order of maybe $16 million-$18 million. Would that be over and above this normalized run rate of $40 million? Thank you.
So in CDMO, typically, see, as I've mentioned this before as well, Rohit, the business itself is very lumpy. Plus, what we've done, as I've told you before, is we've changed our mindset. Earlier, we were focused on early-stage molecules. We are now complementing them with commercial-stage molecules, right? As we go on into next year, our expectation is that about 30%-35% to 40% of the revenues will come from commercial stage molecules, and this is where our entire team is focusing efforts on. We will have some contribution from the European based API customer into next year's revenue, though of course that revenue will come in materially or start to make material impact on the numbers from FY26. Additionally, you know, the strategic partnership that Vishad referred with the CDMO in U.S. will also open up opportunities. But all those efforts are ongoing. This is obviously, it's going to be in addition to any order that we get from ongoing campaigns. You know, all these efforts are going to be in addition to that. But, you know, I wouldn't sort of be able to put a number on it at this stage.
Sure. Thanks for answering all the questions and best of luck, sir.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Sorry to interrupt, you are not audible. Sanjay,
can you hear me now?
Yes, this is better. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Vishad bhai, and thanks, Anish sir, for taking my questions. I got few of them. First, on the R32, we thought that R32 capacity addition was freezed in December 23. Can you just help us understand the regulation now that we are going to expand? Will this qualify for the quota determination period, because this capacity is coming after December 23?
Okay, you want to finish questions or should I take them one by one?
So let's take one by one.
Okay. So the regulation around the December 23 date is actually for receiving subsidy under the Kigali Agreement. The quota period is the average production you have in 24, 25 and 26, 27 being the unrestricted year, and from 28, I believe, the quotas kick in, with 32 being the first year of phase down at 10%.
Correct.
So
this capacity will not qualify for subsidy payout, but this whatever we sell from this plant will qualify to get the baseline capacity for the next.
That's right. So the baseline capacity will increase. Our position, you know, our ability to tap into that market remains intact. So yes, you're right. The numbers, the production will factor into the quota determination.
That's fairly clear. Got the regulation clear now. The second is on the gross profit margin. Sequentially, it is down by 500 basis point in the standalone entity, close to 430 basis point. While the mix in the CDMO business has improved, Anish sir, can you help us understand what is driving down the margins in this quarter, despite having a higher CDMO contribution?
See, if you're referring to standalone, right?
Yes, standalone. As well as yeah. Console as well. Console also we had a equivalent decline in the gross profit margin, which is
right. So on standalone basis, there's sort of main drivers over there of lower margin are really the ref gas environment. You know, there's a pricing sort of pressure in R22, which has sort of affected it. The fluorspar prices, you know, we had high-value inventory in stock, which has kind of played into it as well. Of course, as we deplete that stock, we expect that to be recouped from next financial year. In addition to that, we've had some one-off charges in the business. So, you know, if I look at your 20 to 15, as you said, sequentially, right, 5% roughly, that 5% broadly is split out in those three compartments, you know, about 1% being on spot prices, about 1.8 to 1.9% being on R22, the reasons I talked about, and about another 1.4% relating to one-off charges. So most of this, no, Sanjesh, you know, we expect to recoup. As you can obviously, you know, as these events play out, most of them, that loss margin will be recouped over time.
Just one follow-up on this, Anish sir. I thought fluorspar prices have actually gone up. That means inventory, excess inventory should have positively benefited us on the gross profit, right?
No, so fluorspar prices have gone up, but it depends on what our contracts are, right? I mean, if you look at it, the material that we are now consuming is the higher fluorspar price. If you know, when we started off, I think at the end of March 23, we had high inventories of low fluorspar prices. So that inventory is depleted and the new fluorspar inventory has come in, which was our contract from the last calendar year. And which is why I said we expect this to be recouped, because as we go forward, we'll again see the benefit of low spar prices come back into the play.
Got it. Again, sorry, I'm sticking to a few bookkeeping questions to get the modeling right. And the other expenses has also gone up sharply quarter on quarter. Any particular reasons for that, or it is largely to do with the HFO plan getting corrected in the Dahej and that's been booked here?
So the other expenses that you see in the as reported comprises both of production related expenses as well as fixed costs. You know, as I've already told you, there is an element of one-off costs within that. But the way I would hold it for your modeling purposes, if you take the nine-month number, right, and you look at the quarterly allocation, I'm talking console level, yeah? I mean, I'm not talking standalone. If you take that at a console level, that broadly should be the number that we should look at. So, you know, 120 to 120, 130 crore per quarter, roughly.
Okay. No meaning in looking at this quarterly number. It's better to look at...
Yeah, because there are effects, right? I mean, in some quarters you do something. Like this quarter, we may have a higher CSR spend compared to last quarter, etc. So those timing effects also come into play, yeah?
Fair enough. I got few smaller questions. One on the peak revenue from the HFO. I thought last time when we met, we said that the peak revenue because of the currency as well as the higher raw material prices now stands at rupees 5.5 billion, but in your commentary in the previous question for peak revenue being at 4.6 billion. What has changed in last 2-3 quarters?
I'm referring to peak revenue on the basis on which we made the promise to the market, you know, on that basis, saying that we had talked of, if you remember, I think it was 2,800 crores over 7 years. Something like that, right? So I'm saying that on that basis, when you talk of 2,800 crores over 7 years, what we are expecting to see in FY25, you will largely see that would be met.
So we will be doing a 4,460 crores in FY25.
Yes. That's our hope, yeah? That's where we are today.
That's what we are looking at today. Fair that. My last one is on the dedicated facility. I think dedicated facility we ramped up completely. Now we are talking of an 80% utilization. It's more of a timing issue that 80%.
So Sanjay, just to clarify, the dedicated capacity, as you rightly mentioned, has already been ramped up, and FY24 itself we would have achieved the peak revenue that we'd indicated. The multipurpose plant, which is not dedicated, I said 80% of our top line revenue, the peak revenue that we had indicated, we expect to see in FY24 itself.
That's fine. I think I got confused between the two plants.
No worries.
So one last question on the CDMO. Previously, we said that we will be able to achieve that 100 million revenue from existing CGMP 1, 2, 3 and CGMP 4 will help us expand from there.
I don't mean to butt you, but yeah, finish your question.
I got the question, and that's what I was
saying. Okay, so what we said was that 1, 2 and 3 would not be sufficient to take us to 100 million. We would need a 4. If you see what we've done is, while announcing the capex for 4 at 288 crores, we have opened up phase one, which we believe is very, very critical to support the MSA that was referred by Vishad Bhai. And that not only supports the MSA, but also unlocks our ability to achieve that 100 million. So it's a double side thing that you will see just with that portion of the capex.
And we still hold that by FY 2027, we should be hitting that $100 million kind of thing.
So that is directional, okay? That is directional. It could be 27 or 28. Would I worry about it if it slipped by a year? I wouldn't care about it, you know? I mean, directionally, we are there. Does pace matter, you know?
No, that's
Yeah.
Very difficult to predict, but I got it.
Yeah. So the idea is today we are investing in the business with that as an aspiration, yeah?
So, Sanjay, just one thing to add from him, that the sheer fact that, you know, in this market, we are going ahead with a calculated investment in this business is the belief that the management and the customer have the, you know, the understanding and the, you know, the belief in us that we can deliver, we are the right partner of choice, and that this business is going to increase going forward. And that time, if we go ahead and invest, we will lose out because customers today are looking at capacity. They cannot wait if the molecules are flying off. So it's our definite belief that going forward this business has to reach the optimum levels that you have discussed with Anish bhai.
Got it. Got it. That's all from my side. Thanks, Vishad bhai. Thanks, Anish sir, for answering all the questions.
Thanks, Sanjay.
For the coming quarters.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Gadekar from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So first on the specialty chemical business, the capacity utilization that you have alluded to in this quarter for the entire year, if we do a back calculation, it seems our base business specialty, which was there till FY 2022, would have declined by anywhere between 45%-50%. So what has led to that significant decline, and how should we look at that business going ahead?
No, so when you talk of the base business, I think you're referring to our legacy capacity in Surat, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, so there are two things that have happened this year, yeah? There has been two sort of, you know, one of our molecules in Surat has faced some demand challenges, which has started to recover, but during the year, that has been the case. The other thing also to remember is that we ran several campaigns from Surat last year, which obviously have not seen themselves in this fiscal, but are expected to come back into next fiscal. The third thing is, you know, I referred to the four molecules. Out of the four molecules, three molecules, I believe, are going to come in Surat. So all of that is going to bring business again in the base. So, you know, some of the nature of this business is when it's campaign-driven, you kind of tend to see that year-on-year, yeah?
Okay, got it. So secondly, on the HFO side, we had always spoken about the debottlenecking, which was expected to come in CY 2023, and then we were also talking about a possibility of a phase two. Where do we stand on that case project?
So again, you know, see, the thing is, I don't know how this gets. I'm going to clarify this once again. The debottlenecking was a project and is a project that remains in our hopper. It is not a project that is matured enough for us to even take it to the board. As and when that matures, we take it to the board, we announce it to the market. So that is a possibility in the hopper, much like a lot of other projects that we have in the hopper. We continue to look at these, develop this, and those become conversations with customer. Okay, so that is not to be taken as something that we have committed to. Yeah, and similarly is your question on the doubling the capacity of HFO, et cetera. I mean, our discussions with Honeywell, and particularly between Vishad bhai and at the highest levels in Honeywell, you know, cover a range of topics and range of opportunities. And depending on the market dynamics, those opportunities are being matured and will sort of see themselves come into play. Sorry, you want to add something, Vishad? Does that answer your question, Siddharth?
Yeah. So just one last thing on R32 capacity. So going into CY 2028, is it fair that we will be operating the capacity at around 66%-67% capacity utilization?
R32?
Yes.
No, no. R32 is a low GWP product with a very long cycle, so its first cut starts in 2032.
No, but given that we have to produce an average of 24-26, so our average will be lower than what we produce in 2025, 2026. So technically from 28 our production must be around
60%. So what will happen is we currently have a capacity that's already in play at 4,500, right? So that capacity is actually operating extremely well, and we may be able to do more than 4,500, but argument's sake, let's just hold that to 4,500. So that 4,500 goes into the quota as a average of 3 years production. So 4,500. With the current new capacity that we've announced today, we will be able to take in 2 years as opposed to 3 years, because that plant will take 12 months to commission. So by February, we commission the plant, which means we won't have production for 24, correct? But we have production for 25 and 26. The production for 25 and 26 will basically get divided by 3. So that's what we'll get into the system in 28. So to answer you in a more simple and direct way, do the math for you, is basically we are saying 9,000 metric tons will be our expanded capacity, and 7,500 will be the quota to us from 28 onwards.
Yeah, okay. Got it. That's very clear. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much. So first question on your specialty chemicals and the CDMO segments. In 2Q, you'd mentioned you'd seen certain deferrals which you were expecting in this quarter. Just wanted to clarify if these are the same molecules which are continuing to see some sort of deferment or postponement even in this quarter. And if you could just spend a minute to kind of explain what exactly is the issues that the customers are facing with respect to some of these molecules.
So some of this is, it's a combination of deferrals, and mainly deferrals, and also in some cases we had to do more work on getting the chemical reactions right. But, you know, the deferrals are nothing different to what's happening across the industry at the moment. You know, everybody is looking at year ends and, you know, trying to reduce their inventory and cost of, you know, carrying the inventory, etc. So that's a deferral. It's not an order which is lost, but we expect that to be made up in this quarter.
So, sir, you mean Q4?
Yes, Q4, that's right.
Sure, sir. And the second question I had was, and I can understand this is a bit of a difficult question to answer, but just with respect to both your specialty chemicals and CDMO, would it be possible to give a sense of, you know, how much do you think your portfolio is immune to these risks or deferrals? Or how much part of your portfolio do you think is actually immune to such risks? And how much is actually, you know, very, very reliant on, you know, the customers, you know, changing their views and demand? Would it be possible to give some sense of it?
So, again, as you rightly said in the beginning, it's a very difficult question to answer. What I can tell you is strategically, we try to play in products which go into early stage patented life cycles. Yeah, so that the risk of them being subjected to market dynamics, substitutes, etc., is reduced and is minimal. Okay, that's always been our philosophy, and that continues to be our philosophy, you know. As Rishad Bhai tells us, he doesn't want to be in the Me Too business. So that is our thinking, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the deferral again in CDMO, what you talked about. See, in CDMO, the deferrals are not actually deferrals. They are the nature of the business. You know, the CDMO intermediate business runs on a campaign basis, and those campaigns are collected in 1 year. But then depending on how they are rolled out, etc., could take another year of gap and then come back to you. So that happens as a very natural part of the business. What we are seeing in the spec chem business is what's happening by global majors to control costs, etc., and manage their inventories, etc., as you get into year end and you know, obviously look at destocking effects, etc., which again, you probably know more than what I do.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for the explanation. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Thakur from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, just two clarifications largely. One is on the HFO plant. Just wanted to clarify. So this year we will be undershooting the optimum number that is there on revenue, and that should get back to that optimal number in FY25. Is that correct understanding?
So what I'm saying is that in FY25, we expect the peak annual revenue that we'd indicated in rupee terms to be met. In FY24, we will still be delivering the demand that Honeywell has put on us. So there is not likely to be any unmet demand. You know, like I said, you know, as we speak and touch wood, you know, the plant today is, you know, operating at 80% of what we expect it to. So...
So the demand itself you mentioned is subdued. So that would mean that the number itself is lower than the optimal number.
So you know, as you have this statement in any of these agreements, you have a certain minimum demand and a certain maximum capacity demand, right, which you can't go beyond. What I'm saying today is that we have the minimum demand. If the environment was better, we would have probably seen it higher than that minimum demand. That's all I'm saying.
Understood. And so just on the spec chem bit, so the base business is expected to come back in FY25, and the additional three molecules that will get added, that will also start to contribute in 25. That should be a fair understanding over and above what we're seeing in today's numbers.
So over time, I mean, our philosophy is to optimize and utilize the assets across both the entities. See, we don't see this as a entity by entity conversation. We see it as a collective spec chem conversation on how to optimize the assets, whether they are in Surat or in Dahej.
Understand. No, just not talking about an asset level, but at an overall revenue level, the number that we are seeing today for FY24, for FY25, there will be a bump up which happens as the base business again recovers, which you mentioned right now, campaigns come back.
So we have visibility to the next, this Q4 being stronger than Q3, and I'm saying visibility to that. What we are saying, and this includes the deferral of the molecule that I mentioned, okay, as a result of that too. What we also know, and in speaking with our customers, that the challenges within the spec chem business are going to play out and recovery is going to be progressively better next year. But we expect that recovery to be better in the second half of next year rather than the first half.
Understood. And on the CDMO bit, again, FY25 will start getting more towards normalization, and we remain, we would adhere to the medium-term target of 100 million once this CGMP port comes in place.
So directionally right. Again, you know, we will have the efforts that we've taken, the agreements that we've done, including the two that we've discussed earlier before that Vishad Bhai pointed out. It will take some time for us to play that out. So, you know, the CDMO business should start seeing, in the way we've described to you, you know, a stable revenue from commercial business with capacities that we use to get higher margin early stage products. That will start becoming more and more visible again as we go into second half of next year.
Understood. Sure, sir. That is fair. Sure. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you are requested to please restrict your questions to two per participant. You may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Archit Joshi from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. I just had a few fact checks, especially in CDMO. So we've had a few announcements in the past. So there's been a contract that we signed with Fermion. Then there was a discussion about the $16 million PO with an American company. And now we're speaking of expansion of the MSA with one European customer and the commercial opportunity that we've received from an American customer. Is there any overlap?
There is definitely overlap.
Right, sir. So
there is definitely overlap, Archit. The first name that you referred is actually the European-based API. We had signed an MSA with them covering one molecule. Now this expands it to two molecules, two more molecules. So in total, three molecules, yeah?
and the American CDMO is something very new. That's absolutely recent. We've never announced that before. That the partnership there is very promising, because here we're tying up with a player who's got skills or experience in the early stages, you know, and we've got experience in and capacity in the commercial stage. So, you know, this is going to be a complementary partnership, both in terms of how we utilize our common, you know, capacities to our capabilities in a more complementary manner, but also it will open up access for us in the U.S. markets to customers, you know.
Got it, sir. And with the same American partner that we are speaking of, we have intended to commission around 160 crores in phase one, which I think Vishadji mentioned earlier is towards this particular contract. But so, the number being 288, I was just wondering if there are two dedicated blocks separate to service different customers, or how should we read this?
So, Akshay, let me first sort of clarify this. Okay, in CDMO business, you do not have any dedicated blocks. You know, when we say dedicated, what we mean is we've allocated the capacity. There's no concept of dedicated plants. There's no concept of take or pay or anything of that sort. Okay. The other thing that you talked about was the reference you made to, you know, the phase one. The phase one supports the European-based API customer and not the American one. The third thing to point out is we have not entered into a partnership with the American one. It's a strategic partnership, which means we have an arrangement of mutual beneficial commercial arrangement, that we will tap into our respective capabilities and see how to maximize the value of that relationship.
Got it, sir. And just one last clarification I wanted to squeeze in. Earlier, just picking up cues from the previous calls, I think the multipurpose plant that we had announced our CAPEX for, we had close to three molecules towards agri, and I think one was in the pipeline which was supposed to go towards pharma. And now we're speaking of four more molecules, I think, which takes the total tally to close to 7-8 molecules. So these new four molecules would effectively come under the same ambit of the total potential that we are talking of, let's say 60 to 70 odd crores. Would that be a fair assumption?
No, so again, you know what, I think you're mixing two things up, because the MPP-1 plant had certain molecules that have been brought into play in the Dahej, and that was an indication. Your first comment relates to that. I think the second comment, which I was talking about four new molecules, as I said, three of those are actually coming in Surat, and one is being introduced in the Dahej. So they are mutually exclusive in that sense.
Oh, right, sir. That helps a lot, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Anand.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhav from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you're audible, sir. You may proceed.
Yeah. So my question was on the R32 capacity. Just wanted to understand, you know, given we are... first question here is, you know, why didn't we announce this 4,500 tons earlier and then, you know, make use of the quota for CY24 as well, because this baseline period has been known. So I'm just wondering why announce it now and not earlier, and then sort of let go of, like, you know, 14-15 months of production for the quota.
So again, a good question. I mean, I think you know, see, this is something that is a homegrown developed technology. You know, having done the first phase gives us significant confidence of having gone into the expansion, you know. So one driver is that. Second, we believe that the R32 pricing environment will see a similar pricing environment that you saw in R22 as the quotas kick in, etc., etc. Third, we know that it's a low GWP product, so it has a longer play, apart from having a play in the transition to HFO eventually, whether in India or outside. Yeah, outside there's a likelihood overseas of it being used in blends. Similarly, in India, that transition will also go through blends, etc. So we have strong belief on the demand for this. We also think that this is very strategic for us in the sense that it secures our play in the industry and the market position that we have. So, you know, to answer your question in a simple way, better late than never, no?
Understood. And when you say pricing should be like R22, basically, you're saying that once the quota, etc. is frozen after CY26, as demand kind of grows, because India should and the world should see good pickup for R32, as you mentioned, across various blends, etc. So you're saying that's why demand should be quite tight for this product longer term. Is that how we should read it?
Yes, yes. So both the demand side and also I meant that, you know, you've seen an R22 that every time the quota kicks in, the pricing sort of becomes more tighter, right? And more stronger. So that's what we expect to play. Of course, you know, this is a long play. Yeah? So things will pan out as they pan out. But it's not unfair to expect a similar rising curve that you saw in R22 in R32. You would expect to see something similar play out.
Got it. All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just first is on taking from the previous question itself, sir. So R32, you have mentioned that the current capacity has been fully utilized. While we understand that the industry scenario still remains weak and there has been significant capacity additions has happened. Just wanted to understand, sir, what is driving this demand, whether it's a domestic exports, from where it will primarily coming from the exports market, or what is the driver?
So first, you know, your the 4,500 we talked of is absolutely, they've had very good response, and you know, the uptake is very good. So that is not a question. And also in our conversations, both within the industry and globally, we believe that R22 has a very unique play in the transition. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the blending opportunities will increase, but given one, it is low GWP and it is a fairly competitively priced product compared to HFOs. So, you know, you will see it being played more and more in the blending philosophy, even globally. Our also view is that India itself will have short, capacity to meet the demand from 28, 29 onwards.
So my question was around the current demand environment of R32, which you have mentioned that the plant is fully utilized.
Yeah, so current demand is fully utilized. It's not a problem. My reference on pricing pressure was in relation to R22, unless I'm, I don't know if that was what was driving the confusion.
No, sir, I'm talking about R32 only, and just wanted to understand what is the driving factor for R32, which has led to full utilization at our plant.
Driving factor is, you know, there's enough demand. I mean, that's, I don't, sorry.
Okay. Sir, second question is on your key.
So R22 is also being exported, and as you know, even in US, as the quota, as the restrictions kick in, I believe it's from 1st January of this year, the blending potential for R32 will also increase, like I said before.
Okay. Sir, second question is some clarification. Hello, sir, can you hear me?
Yes, go on.
Sir, second question is on the CDMO US based new contract which we have done with. So just wanted to understand that about little bit more about this new customer, the kind of chemistry which we will be doing here, and the kind of investment which we may need to put for this CDMO CGMP facility. If I clarify, sir, 288 crore rupees investment which has been approved by the board, it does not include this US based new customer coming in, right?
So can I just clarify, the US-based partnership is with another CDMO player. It's not a customer. There are two capabilities here. We bring in fluorination capabilities apart from other chemistry synthesis that we are good at. Those players, the CDMO in the US, also brings in their unique capabilities to the table. They bring in their access to the US market. We are stronger in the Europe market, so we bring in that. So I think it's a partnership in that sense, where we share the chemistry capability with each other, we share the market capability with each other, and we allow access. So it's an enabler to future growth. There is no investment involved in that. the European-based MSA, which is a customer where we have to do investment. So the 160 crores supports that investment, that MSA.
Okay. So that's it from my side. So thank you.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. You may rejoin the queue for follow-up questions. We have the next question from the line of Dheeresh from White Oak. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So Anish, when you are explaining the project's revenue potential, the key projects that we had undertaken in the last few years, I just want a clarification on that. So Orchid is where we are seeing 400 crore revenue potential, right?
460 crore is the peak annual revenue is what we are saying.
Understood. And this we expect to do in FY25?
Yes, we expect to do it in FY25.
Okay. MPP, which was supposed to be 280 crore as per my understanding on an annualized basis, we are saying we are running 80% of that in current year and will do full in FY25, right?
So MPP one, which you said, that was I think 260 to 280 crores as far as my memory goes. And I'm okay. Saying 80% of that. Yeah, that's right.
80% in FY24 we will do.
As I said, it's the range, yeah, 260 to 280.
I understand. I'm not holding you a point estimate, just the corridor.
I'm giving you a broad sort of indication that, you know, while we have had, you know, we would have thought that should have come in this year fully, it has slipped slightly, but not materially, is all I'm saying.
Totally understand that it's not a point estimate. There will be a corridor around it. Fresia, which is agro intermediate, that was supposed to be 160 crores. That we are already done full revenue this year, right?
That's correct. That we expect by end of FY24.
What about Nectar next year?
So Nectar will have 2 years to run its par once it comes into play, which again I think as we see today, that's the target.
FY26 is when you expect to hit 600 crores.
So if we are saying the chemical reaction, we said will start in March or end of March, and with first supplies coming in July, for all practical purposes, I would see the two-year period being FY27. That's when you should start to see or expect to see peak revenues.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranjit from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for this opportunity. My question is largely on the thought process. Earlier, we were only kind of sticking to R22. Now, over the years, we have seen kind of a diversified to HFO, and now we are also getting aggressive in R32. How do we see the refrigerant space evolving probably 5 years down the line? Is there a plan to further diversify into more refrigerant, given that we have an HF capacity coming in the age in 3 years time frame? Thank you.
So Ranjit, again, you know, if you look at the refrigerant growth space, even in India, is growing at double digit. R32 is also having a CAGR globally of double digit. Will we remain in refrigerant space? We were pioneers in that space. I think it makes sense for us to remain in that and play into the transition from high GWP to low GWP to eventually HFO. So we will be playing our part as a player in the industry in that transition. I don't think we've ever said we would not do that.
So will that also pave way for our entry into blends in future?
I can't speculate that, but I'm kind of saying the whole landscape is open depending on what opportunities are available and how our capabilities are geared to tap into it.
Yeah, thank you. One last...
But we will move fast wherever we see the opportunity is right and, you know, our capabilities meet that.
Right, understood. And any plans on utilization of HF capacity that is likely to come up in a couple of years at the age?
So it's a mother plant. Lots of things are being worked in the hopper and lots of things will be progressed in a progressive fashion. But we've consciously put in the capacity to ultimately use the downstream ability. we are, and I think we've said this before, you know, we will be looking at emerging sectors, etc., as we progress into the future. So, you know, some of that will play out as well.
Hopefully, we should hear in next year, next fiscal, something, some announcement.
I'm not going to second guess that, man. It will be when it will be. We are working at it, believe it. As soon as we can talk about it, we will talk about it.
Right. So the question was because even on the CGMP4, we have kind of a give out a 3-year time period to kind of have phase one and phase two. So whenever we do make an announcement, even on that new emerging opportunities, so one should take a similar time frame. So that was the intent.
So I mean, you know, again, I know what you're saying there, but the intent is there. Yeah? We're working it. It's in the hopper. I mean, I don't know what else to say at this stage. You know, it will be. It'll come when it'll come, Ranjit. But you know, it's not something that we've lost line of sight to. We are putting a lot of effort internally to progress that area. So, you know, if things materialize, you'll probably hear on it sooner than later.
Right. And finally, on the gross debt level, can you share the figure for
the...
The gross debt figure of the December ending quarter.
Gross debt figure is 1,200 crores, including, I'm talking the expanded debt, including what we take borrowed on working capital, yeah?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
All right. I would like to thank everyone for taking the time out and joining the call today. I hope we've been able to respond to your queries adequately. Thank you all. Have a good evening and good night. Thanks.
Thank you. On behalf of Navin Fluorine International Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.